Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Truly, it is another day that the Lord has blessed us to see, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I don't want you to take it lightly because you have no clue what can happen in the course of a day. You can wake up in the morning feeling fine, but by evening time, you don't know what that day is going to hold for you. I thank God for Jesus on tonight. It is a pleasure to be in your hearing on Blog Talk Radio. We thank God for his goodness to us and that he's so mindful and so merciful unto us. It's just a blessing to know that we have a God that cares, that we have a God that is very much alive, and he is attentive to our cry and to our calling. David said, I called on the Lord, and he answered me. I tell you, it is a good thing to need God, and he comes to your rescue. I am just getting out of the hospital since the last time we were on air together on Blog Talk. My heart rate dropped tremendously down to about 39, and I was so very, 35, I was so dizzy until I was afraid. But I know the enemy was mad because I gave God all the praise last week, all the glory and the honor of what he had done for someone else that needed a miracle. And I guess the enemy said, well, I'm going to come after you, but I'm going to wait a few days. But you see, he came after the wrong person. Because I'm still here. I'm still here. The doctor took me off my medicine, and my heart rate today was 81 without medicine. So he messed with the wrong child of God. And I'm not dizzy. I was a little dehydrated, they say, and there were some other things that said could have dizziness. But thanks be to God. The hospital is for those that need the hospital. I needed to be on that IV. I needed them to run the test that they ran to see or try to figure out what was going on. But in the meantime, somebody help me say, in the meantime, yes, sir, God was already working on my behalf. I tell you, when the news hit the saints, and I mean the saints was praying from New York all the way to California because this one called that one and that one called this one. And it just went like, wow. It was, the calls were coming in. So to my armor bear had to police my phone. She had to take my phone because I couldn't do anything with it. And she began to answer and say, pray. She's in the hospital. Pray. She's in the ER. And, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? I don't know why people got to know what's wrong. If somebody tell you that they're in the hospital, they're in the emergency room, pray. Well, then hush and pray. You'll find out later what's going on. I told her, don't explain to nobody else what's going on. If, once you tell them to pray, hang up. Hang up the phone, because all they need to do is say, Lord, you know what's wrong. I don't. So I'm asking you on the behalf of her that, God, you stay in the midst. You hold her hand, God. You hold her up because you made her and you know all about it. And, God, let the doctors be able to find what it is that caused her to go to the ER. You don't need to know the details. What are you going to fix? Nothing. Told her, don't. Tell another soul. Tell them to pray and hang the phone up. But they were blowing up my phone. They were coming to the hospital. They wanted to know, who is she that would draw such a people like this? But you see, that's God's people. When you live right, God will send help to the rescue. And guess what? I serve you notice. When you live wrong, God will send help to your rescue because he loves his creation. The only thing God said that he hates is sin. Anything other than sin, God got it. But he said the soul that sinneth will surely die. And that's what happened when he spoke that. The enemy tricked Eve to believe that it wouldn't happen. So he told her, go ahead on. You'll be all right. So she listened like we do, the devil. She listened to the devil and found out that it was a trap and a trick. That's why Jesus made this statement, said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Well, that's what he's talking about. When you know God's voice, the enemy you to follow him. But for some reason, Eve just could not distinguish the devil's voice from God's voice. So she followed what the devil said. And then she got her husband involved. Even if he'd have just stayed straight, we wouldn't be in sin today. We wouldn't have to work. We ladies wouldn't have that monthly. I told somebody every month when time for my monthly to come on, I said, where's Eve? Let me dig this chick up and kill her again. Because she called that. God never intended for us to have pain. God didn't have hospitals on his mind. He gave us everything that we needed. But sin was on that tree. Sickness was on that tree. So, but because we're his creation and he loves us, look, you wouldn't have a landlord. You wouldn't need a mortgage. Everybody would have had their own. My God, today. And yet we fall prey to the trap of sin and don't want to serve God to the fullest capacity. We want to give God a little patty cake on Sunday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, again, we're back. And we're just going to give God that 2 hours or three at my church is six on Sunday. And after that, we go back doing what we feel is right to do. We need to denounce sin and do as the scripture said last week, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, I've taken up quite a bit of time this evening here at 7:08, and our precious mother Janie is on board with us. And we don't want to get in her way. We want her to be able to minister the way God gives it to her. So I'm getting ready to decrease so that she can increase. Come on, people of God, let's say amen for our precious mother, Janie Lennon. Amen. God bless you, mother.
Good afternoon, everybody that's on this prayer line. Pastor Patricia, I could let you go on and on and on. Personally, because I enjoy it, and I am so grateful that you are feeling better. I'm thankful for you are feeling better. On Evangelist Simmons' prayer line, what they're doing now is giving testimony, and anybody that want to give a testimony how good God been to you, you feel free to join in because they love when you be on that line. And I was going to call Pastor Patricia and call her, but now tonight that I know that she was sick, and thank God tonight she's feeling better, I personally want to say thank you, God. Thank you for sparing her to feel better. And I'm not going to prolong the time, but this song God laid on my heart just now to do is no, not one. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lonely. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he's not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Singing, Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. None else could heal all our soul diseases. No, not one. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. There's not an hour that he's not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Singing, Jesus knows all about our struggle. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Singing, Jesus, know all about our struggle. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like a lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Pastor Patricia, the song says, no, not one.
Yes, ma'am.
There's not a friend.
Yes.
I don't care, family member, your friends, your neighbor. There's not a friend.
Yes.
I learned to know this personally for myself.
Yes.
There's not a friend.
Yes.
Nobody, nobody, nobody can do you like Jesus
nobody.
Do you.
Yes.
You are sick.
Yes.
But God saw fit to say, Pastor Patricia, you're going to feel better, and you are going back home.
Yes, Lord. Thank
oh
you,
oh, my
Jesus.
God, the song is for me.
Yes.
No, not one.
No, not.
Jesus knows all about my struggle.
Yes, God.
All about my struggle.
Yes.
He guides me until the day is done.
Yes, Lord.
There's not a friend
hallelujah.
Like the lonely Jesus, y'all.
Yes.
No, not one.
No.
No,
mm-mm.
Not one.
Not one. Thank
so,
you, Jesus.
Patricia.
Yes, Lord.
Now, listen to this song that I'm going to do.
Yes.
Not
yes.
even me. Not mm. even your sister Jackie, who we love.
Yes, Lord.
The song said, can't nobody.
Do me like Jesus.
Nobody do you like Jesus.
Amen.
Can't nobody.
Yes.
Do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. Do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. He picked me up and he turned me around. He picked me up and he turned me around. He picked me up and he turn me around. He's my friend. He healed my body. Told me to live on. Healed my body. Told me to live on. Healed my body. Told me to live on. He's my friend. Oh, he saved my soul, and he told me to run on. Saved my soul, and he told me to run on. Saved my soul, and he told me to run on. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Pick me up, he turned me around. Pick me up, he turned me around. Place my feet on the solid ground. He's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Oh, can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Oh, Pastor Patricia, nobody, nobody. Oh, nobody, nobody. Oh, nobody, no, nobody. He's my friend. Can't nobody. Do you like Jesus? Pastor Patricia, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just remember, It wasn't me. God lay on me to say, even I could not heal you and bring you back home. But for my sake, your sake, I want you to know that the song say it was Jesus. Oh, yes. God, be thankful for him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mother. Thank you so much for those encouraging songs. I tell you, they bless my spirit. They bless my heart. And they bless my soul. And I'm just so great tonight for what the Lord has done. I was in the emergency room, and I was singing after God had touched my body, after one of the saints came in and prayed with the oil and anointed me from my head down to my feet. And when she left out, I began to sing. And now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich for what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks. And I just kept singing, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the only one. Give thanks. Give thanks to Jesus Christ, God's Son. So now, just let the weak say I am strong. Just let the poor say I am rich. And I wasn't singing about the poor being rich with money, but the scripture said, blessed are the poor in spirit. So now, let the weak say I am strong. Just let the poor say I am rich. Listen to this. For what the Lord has done for us, give thanks. Give thanks. That's what we have to do. The Bible says, he that is merry, let him sing. But as I felt God moving upon my body, I began to sing that song. Armor bearer's hands went up. The apostle's hand went up. And the people was walking by looking. They couldn't believe. The nurse stood there and just listened. Because in all things, we got to give thanks. And I said, I'm fine now because I can sing. And I just kept singing. And yesterday I began to sing in my room and bless the people on the floor. Oh, bless his name. I would not have any other God but this one. I serve the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Oh, bless his name. I feel good, Mother. Thank you for the song, There Is Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus. No, not. And I particularly like that verse that says, no night so dark that he cannot hear us. No, not one. Jesus knows all about your struggles, and he's talking to you in Radio Land tonight. Jesus knows all about your struggles. He will guide until the day is done. No, 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 nobody, 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 nobody can do me like Jesus. Yes, the IV was connected to me to give me fluids and all of the stuff that I needed. And also my magnesium was low. And it was a whole lot going on. But I never let go of God's hand. So the whole idea, anytime a person who's dizzy that cannot move off the bed
get up and say, God, I want to go take my shower before the ambulance come because I need to get my heart rate back up from 35 in the shower. And my girlfriend in Georgia stayed on the phone with me. She said, well, what's she going to do? You in Delaware, she in Georgia. She was on the phone praying while I was taking my shower. Talking to me, talk back to me so I know you're okay. She said, because if you don't answer me, I'm sending the ambulance to your house. That's love. That's love. And I appreciate her and the saints and all of you. I asked my sister to call a few of you all, but I guess she forgot, and it was fine. It's okay. To let you know that, to pray for Pastor Benjamin. But she said, well, are you going to be on the air? I said, if God allows me to come out of this hospital on Tuesday, I will be on the air on Wednesday. So you can't make a vow to God and then change it. You can't do that. If you make a vow, it is better for you not to make a vow with God than to make one and break it and have time to break the vow. God, if you let me come home on Tuesday, I promise you I'll be on the air on Wednesday. Well, I'm here. I came home. And I'm here. I got my shit. I feel just like crying to give God the praise and the glory. And not only did God heal me, there was others in that hospital that received the miracle because the evangelist stood there and said, God, everybody on the same floor that she's on, what you're doing for her, do it for them. See, God have to allow sometimes things to happen to shake up folk. It wasn't too cold for them to come out. They was about their Father's business. That's the way Jesus is with us. It's never too late, never too early, and he's never too busy. My brother Michael was praying in Brooklyn. My cousin Lisa prayed a prayer that Michael and I said we were going to put in a frame. That girl put a prayer over that phone. She did a voice text. And my armor bearer and I, we laughed at her prayer. We wasn't making fun. We were laughing because if any of you know with your cell phone and you do a voice text, and when you look back at the text, it put words there that you never even said. And I saw where when she sent, told the devil to go back to the pits of hell where he came from. I know that's what she meant to say, but the phone picked it up and sent the devil to the pen. I said, well, you know what? Pin him down, God. Keep him away from me. And we rejoiced over her prayer and how she began to bombard heaven, and she just kept saying, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I felt that when I read the text. I felt that prayer on the inside of me. And my brother and I sat, he came down from Brooklyn yesterday to see me, and as we sat and we rejoiced over her prayer, it was beautiful. Even though phone picked up what it wanted, but we knew what she was praying. See, that's the good part, that when you know what someone is praying, you can overlook what somebody else is saying or somebody else is writing, and you know where she was coming from. She said, no, God, this can't be happening. Last week, the enemy attacked Pastor Michael. Now, this week, he attacked Pastor Patricia. God, this cannot be. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my cousin went in warfare. See, she didn't just pray. And I don't know if she was aware of what she was doing, but she literally went into warfare. She was fighting for her cousin's life. that, I'm telling you, the nurse looked at me and he said, your heart rate is 67. So we're not going to put you on the cardiac unit because there's no chance in you. I'm on my shirt. There is no chance in you having a heart attack. Not at 67. God. Look at God. My pastor said they stopped everything, everywhere, everybody. One call hit the next, and they all stopped what they were doing. Y'all, stop what you're doing. We got to pray. Pastor Benjamin's been taken to the hospital with a low heart rate. And they tell me the saints went in. They were all in. Nobody had their own agenda. It was about them getting to God on my behalf. And you think I would not be on the air the night? The devil is crazy. So now let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich for what the Lord has done for me. I give thanks. And that song says, give thanks with a merry heart. Give thanks to the Holy One, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Oh, my God. Pull it up on YouTube. I think the name of it is Merry Heart. And just listen to it and let it bless you. Let it minister to you. That's why we shouldn't put all this other junk in our temple. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We need to put the things in our temple that whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is right, put it in there because a day is coming that somebody's going to have to lock into what's on the inside and begin to make a difference on the outside. Hey, they were praying in Virginia Beach. They were praying in California. They were praying in New Mexico. They were praying in El Paso. They were praying in Houston, Texas. They were praying. The saints were praying all over. Queens, Long Island, my God, prayers went up. Patricia Benjamin. And while I was in the hospital, going through what I was going through, I began to pray for the folks that was in the hospital with me. There was a young lady in my room. She really needed to call on Jesus. She had a blood clot in her stomach, and she's 9 weeks pregnant, and they can do nothing for her, so they say. But before she left the hospital, I had called one of the saints and said, look, she needs a gynecologist. She needs a real doctor to take care of her. She said, I'm on it, Pastor. Are you all right? I said, Pastor, coming home, girl. She said, Pastor. I said, Pastor, coming home, but I want to get her straight. And the saints that came to see me in my room, they went over to the other side. I know what Jesus said when he told them to cast your net to the other side. They went over to the other side of the room and prayed for her. And when Sister Truett left out, Evangelist Truett left out, the girl put on Marvin's Sapp from her phone. Said, I never would have made it without you, God. I said, that's right, baby. Give God his due benevolence. So you see, me going in the hospital really wasn't about me, but it was that somebody else can experience that touch from the Master's hand. Oh, bless his name. I'm excited tonight. I'm excited. They were praying in Georgia. They were praying in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I mean, prayer went everywhere. But one thing I know for sure, my mother always spoke these words. She said, there is no distance in prayer. Prayer can go places that you can. Prayer can get there before you can. Prayer can beat email. Prayer can beat Google. Because Jesus is already there. All you got to do is tap into him. And it's it's a done deal. So I told the saints to bring humor in, because I am funny. So I said, listen, y'all start praying for the heart. God, not that. Could y'all pray for this hospital bill that I'm going to get in the mail? I need y'all to pray for that. Oh, bless his name. I have insurance, but your insurance pays so much, and then you have to pay the rent. I said, and that ambulance ride, that was expensive. Can y'all put a little prayer on the ambulance, please, so that when my name come up in the computer, that they will see discount, no charge. Oh, bless his name. I believe in God for the miracle all the way. And if he don't do it that way, then God, you send the fish. My father in the gospel said, any time you're in need of finances, then you go to the door and you call for the fish. Somebody said, well, call for fish. What that got to do with anything? Well, let me tell you. Jesus put the fish in the water and told Peter to cast his net to the other side. And when he did that, under the command of Jesus. See, because remember the story of Peter. Lord, God, you just shifted my message. Remember the story of Peter. He had fished all night. And when morning came, he came out of the water and he cleaned his nets. He said, for I have toiled all night and I caught nothing. He caught seaweed, debris. I guess if he would go fishing now, if Peter were to go fishing now, he'd catch all of the pollution and stuff that, you know, all the plastics and all of the waste that they dump in the water nowadays. You know, these sewers run into the middle of the ocean and they go out there swimming and all this stuff. But then I guess if Peter was out there on the boat, he would pull in some Pepsi bottles. They probably have my name on them. They probably pull in some bottles, orange juice bottles that you had and threw it over in the water or whatever, however it got there. He might have stuff with your name on it, bills that you shredded and threw in the trash that made it dump from the dumpster over in the water, and he was able to pull up two items with your name on it. Oh, my God. Look at God. But the Lord said to him, go back and cast your net to the other side. Peter looked at Jesus and said, have you lost your mind? I've been out here all night long and I have caught nothing. But you see, the moral of this story is when Jesus speaks a thing, all you need to do is follow the instructions. Problem with some of you all now, God has spoken and told you to do it like this, and you want to do it your way. Again, you want to be Frank Sinatra or Frankie Sinatra or Frank Lynette Sinatra by saying, I do it my way. But Peter didn't say that. He kind of looked at Jesus like, I know I did not hear what I just heard. I have come out of the water. I have washed my net of all the seaweed, the debris, and all that I caught all night long. And he gonna tell me to go back in the water. So he looks at Jesus. But then he spoke because he realized who had given him a command. See, that's the problem. You don't realize who's speaking to you. You think everything is the devil. I listen to you church folks, and the devil does everything. You don't mention God did anything until you see it with your natural eye. Then you'll say, oh, God, good, hey, yeah, all the time. But that's not what you were saying 10 minutes ago. The devil did this, and the devil did that, and the devil did this, and the devil did that. But you didn't stop to think for 1 minute, God, you're doing this because you need my undivided attention. You want to have a talk with me. So therefore, you are doing this. But you put it all on the devil. So, but anyhow, Peter looks at Jesus and says, I hear the command. I hear the sound in his voice. He said, nevertheless, see how humble he was in the presence of God. He didn't rise up with that spirit, but, huh, nobody going to tell me what to do, huh? I can do what I want to do. I'm grown. Nobody telling me where I can go and can't go, when to come, when not to come. Who you think he is? He don't take care of me. I take care of myself. You know that's what you say? And the very air that you breathe belongs to God, but you take care of yourself. Shame on you. You need a reality check. But Peter humbled himself before the presence of the Lord and said, nevertheless, at thy word. So he went back out there. And Jesus' command was, just don't go back out there in the water and drop your net. He said, cast your net to the other side. So in other words, the water that you was in all night long and you caught nothing but seaweed and debris and all of that stuff, what you got, I don't want you back over there in that water. I want you to go back out to the water, but I want you to change your course. See, that's another thing that we haven't learned how to do, is change your course. You're not willing to give up anything, but you want everything that God has for you, but you won't give up anything to get what he got. Do what he said and get what he got. But you want God to give you this and give you that. You want God to heal your body, but yet you won't live for him 24/7, 365 days of a year. You want to put your right foot in and put your right foot out. Oh, come on here. You want to put your left foot in and put your left foot out. And you, what they say, you do the hokey pokey and you turn all around. That's what it's all about. You do the hokey pokey with God. You put your right foot in on Sunday. And Sunday night, you pull your on your back shirt. You pull your right foot out. You put your left foot in and you pull your left foot out, and you do the hokey-pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's, but yet you cry out, God, help me. But it's not help me to be holy, for you are holy. It's to help me because I need a car. Help me because I need a house. Help me because I need food. Help me because I need a new outfit. Help me with that, but you don't say, God, help me live holy. For you are holy, and then you wonder why you're toiling and catching nothing, paying tithes and giving an offering and getting in trouble. Got a good job, 4K, 401K, and you're making 200 and some thousand dollars of 200K a year, and yet everything is in foreclosure because you put your right foot in, your right foot out. Then you put your left foot in, and you took your left foot out. So God said, I don't know what to do for you because you're neither hot nor cold. So the best thing I can do for you is just spit you up out of my mouth. And let you keep doing the hokey pokey till you get tired. And just hopefully that when you get tired and decide that you need me to help you and that you're serious about belonging to me, you better hope that my mercy and my grace is still sufficient for you. So you keep on doing the hokey pokey. Put your left foot in and take your left foot out. Put your right foot in. Put your right foot out. You do the hokey pokey and you turn all around. That's what it's all about. Peter. Getting back to the story. Peter said, it ain't about me anymore. It was about me in the beginning, and I caught nothing, but now it's about Jesus. He's given a command, and I must follow the instructions. Do I see my way? No, I don't. But who's guiding you? Jesus. Well, then you don't have to see anything but Jesus, because he will not lead you astray. So Peter goes out. Attention to what the instructions were. Go back. Number one, he had to turn around. He had to push his boat back out to the water. He had to grab his net. He had to work. He had to do something to get this. So now once he did all of that, made all the preparations, now he's ready, sure enough. So now he's getting ready to receive what God has commanded. Because you see, when Jesus commanded Peter go out, back out, and cast the net over to the other side, well, don't you know that the fish heard the same command? That, hey, look, y'all, we got to get over here because Jesus is sending Peter to collect us. So come on over here. The big fish told the little fish, come on. We got Peter halfway. While he's rowing to us, we're swimming to him. Just imagine, can't you see the fish coming in droves? Oh, my God. And can't you see Peter saying, Lord, I don't know why I got to come back out here. Because I don't, there is no fish out here. But at your word, I'm going to trust you this time. Before I did it my way, because I am a fisher of men. I'm a fisherman, Jesus. I went out on my own, but this time I'm out here at your word. At your word, at your word, God, I'm out here at your word. I'm out here, God, at your word. And no, I don't see my way. But because I'm following you, your word, it ain't about me. You're going to show me what you're going to do if I listen to you. He's still doing that today. He's still giving commands. He's still doing that. But are we listening to the command? Command, take up your cross and follow me. Walk in the light, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Trust in me, and I will bring you through. Delight yourself. See, we forget that one. We like the quote, well, you know, the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. But what happened to delight yourself in him? See, delight comes before you get the desires of your heart. So you have not delighted yourself, and your desires have not been met. Why? It wasn't Jesus' fault. You did not follow the instructions to delight yourself in him. Scripture tells us, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. It's not about you. It's about the Lord making a difference for you. Do what he says. Some of these unsaved folk trust God better than y'all sitting up in church every Sunday. I've heard them say, well, you know, I'm going to get me another car if it be the Lord will. But you all don't have time to say, I'm going to get me another car. And that's that. prayed about my Malibu. In 2009, I bought a car. I wasn't satisfied. Didn't give me any trouble, but I wasn't satisfied with it. So I went to God, and I said, God, he said, I'm going to tell you when to go back, and you're going to get you a brand-new car, but you can't go until I tell you to. Excuse me. And I said, okay, God, thank you. So I was sitting, and the Lord said, I'm going to give you your car on February 10th. And I said, okay. So I said to my husband, Sherman, my first husband, I said, God said I can get my new car in February. Oh, yeah? Well, where are you going to get all that money from to get a new car? I said, God said, you just got this car. Now you want to get rid of this one and go get a brand new one. I said, I said, God said I could. And he said, Pat, I don't know. I don't know about you. I said, well, you can come with me if you want. If you don't, you can stay home. But I'm going when God tells me to go. So February came, and I got up. That morning, the Lord said, go get your car. I said, where? He told me where to go to get my new car. I left there in a brand new 2010 Malibu. Mm-hmm. And I still have my 2010 Malibu with 97,000 miles on it. Has not given me not one day in the shop. You hear me? I talked to God. I listened, I did what he said, and I got what I got. But we want to do everything our way. And then we ask God for his blessing. Talk to him about it before you do it. And if you get the blessing from him to do it, then you don't have to worry about it. I said to my husband, my car is paid for. He said, oh, yeah, where did you get the money from? I said, God's going to make a way for every payment to be made. God did just that. I was never late. Never did I miss a payment. Nor did I have to take an extension because I talked to God. And then in one, after my second husband died, Dr. Scott, I let the young lady use the car during the time of his memorial, right after I buried him that Tuesday, that Wednesday. You all remember my sister canceled the service, said because it was an accident. You all thought I was in an accident, but the young lady had my car, and I had to go. But I was sitting in my living room, and God said, accident? And I said, huh? And the phone rang at 6:30. She said, Pastor Scott? She said, I was in an accident. I said, where are you? She told me where she was. I said, I'm coming. And I went to her car, and I looked at her. I said, you okay? She said, I said, I got insurance. Don't worry about it, baby. But you know what? God staged that accident. They totaled my car. And I said, the devil is a liar. They only dented the back door and the fender. They lying. The devil, and I told the lady, no. Y'all not getting my car. My car is our car. My brother, and he said, no, that car, you know that car. Nothing was hurt. The engine, nothing. The transmission, nothing. No, no. And my niece told me, said, Auntie, you can buy your car back. I said, that's what I got to do. So the insurance money that they gave me, somebody looked at the book, look at God, look at God. The book value of the car was less than what the insurance company allowed me. The woman said, girl, the book value said, you only supposed to have this amount. They tripled it. I bought my car back. I told the lady, I'm buying my car back. She said, we have to take 10% from you. Take it. And sent my check. They sent my check, and I found a man to fix my car, and it left me with a few thousand dollars left after I had it. See, I said, God knows how to put money in your bank account. But I did what he said. That car's a blessed car. It's a prayed over and a prayed out car. And then I let someone use my car again. But this time I said, God, I don't want no bullets. Don't want my car shot up or broke up behind the person with a high-speed chase. And the person told me he was riding on two wheels. But I tell you what, my Malibu is sitting in front of my house. God protected my interests. So just like Peter said, nevertheless, I want you all tonight to get a nevertheless spirit when it comes to doing things. Ask God first and wait till you hear from him, because it'll be just like it's supposed to be. His blessing will be upon it. Peter's net, you know the story. Peter's net was so full of fish until his net could not hold them all. All the fish didn't leave the water that day, because when the net broke, those are the ones that stayed in the water to make more fish. And those that was on the other part of the net that didn't get broken, they all came to the land, and the people were able to eat. What part of the net is your blessing? Is it in the part that's going to break and then it doesn't get to you? Cured by the hand of God that it reaches you. Ah, my God, today, what a mighty God we serve. I thank God for his goodness. Just think of his goodness to you. Oh, bless his name. I was coming out of Isaiah. You know, we're supposed to go back into Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, and starting at the 10th verse, but God redirected me to the storytelling tonight. Let me just read Galatians for you, Galatians 6 and 1, and you can write this down as a red word, because I've already preached the word, and because I didn't give you scripture, but you can Google what I said, and it will take you to it. Thank God I don't have to work as hard as I used to. Galatians 6 and 1 says, brethren, if a man be over in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also shall be tempted. In other words, stop talking about folk, because it could have been you. Only the grace of God kept you from being overtaken in a fault. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the word of the Lord is always blessed. I guess my time is saying it's 8 o'clock. It's been a pleasure being with you all once again. We thank God for his benefits. And nobody can do us like Jesus. As our precious mother said, no one can do us like the Lord. And we thank God tonight for Jesus and his blood and how he protects us. But have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles, and he will hear your cry, and he will answer. Bye-bye. I don't particularly care for that bye-bye, because sometimes bye-bye seems like it will never come. But we do thank God for his love tonight. Let's close out with Richard Smallwood. Thank you.
you. I'll see you next week. Next Wednesday is the fifth Wednesday. I'll have to check with Mother and see if she's singing next week. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I'm sure that's what Peter said. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment. And your hope for all I do. Jesus, you are. You're the center of my joy. I'm sure Peter felt like that with all those fish. Listen to this. When I lost my direction. To that piano.
You are the master that shatters all my feet. Your hand is there to hold.
Thank you.
good night, everyone. God bless you. Just know that Jesus can be the center of your joy. Night, night.